Welcome everyone to Village Bible Church and our Christmas Eve candlelight service. Glad you all came here tonight. Tonight we gather in celebration of our Savior's birth, but He was not just a Savior. He was the Savior. You know, in some sense, anyone can be a Savior. Rescue a person from a burning building and you become a Savior. Even you can become a Savior. Just run into a burning building and rescue someone. Suddenly, you're a Savior. In Christian circles, we tend to throw around terms, sometimes to the point that they lose all meaning. Savior is certainly one of those words that can do that. And so tonight, of all nights, I intend to be very careful about throwing out those types of terms that either have no meaning or have a misconstrued meaning to many. We'll come back to the term Savior in a bit. But first we consider the birth that forms the basis for the celebration for which you've gathered here tonight. I want to start out by saying that it's not just the birth of Jesus that provides hope for the world. It is His death. Jesus was born for the purpose of dying. He would shed His blood to pay the price for the sins of the human race, past, present, and future. He did this willingly because He loves you and me. And so we must embrace this love that He has for us, because He gave His life to bring us forgiveness of the sin that we have against God. And so in order to receive that, we must abandon all our own efforts to achieve forgiveness and trust completely in the death of Jesus on our behalf. The birth of Jesus that we celebrate tonight would have been of no value had it not been for the death that He endured on our behalf. Because when He did that, as one who was fully God and fully man, who lived in human flesh, so that He could pay the price for humanity's sin by His death. In this way, He became the Savior of the world. However, only those who trust in His payment for their sins can experience Him as the Savior. Like the one unwilling to leave a burning building when someone comes to rescue them, those who ignore the call to trust in Jesus' death on their behalf will not be saved. They will face the eternal consequences of their sin in a literal burning lake of fire for eternity. The choice is yours. Will you accept Jesus as your Savior? Or will He remain a Savior in your mind, nothing more than a baby in a manger, who may or may not have been a great prophet, who revolutionized the world in terms of love and peace and all of those things? This may seem a bit of a downer on the mood of Christmas, but it's not. Because this little baby of whom we sing and whom we'll sing tonight grew into the man who lived a sinless life so that His death would satisfy the wrath of Holy God, whose holy nature demands punishment for sin. And by itself, that is reason for rejoicing. But there's more. Because it's truly Christ's resurrection, which we'll commemorate here in a few months, that provides the hope for all of us and for all of mankind. By that, He confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt that He was exactly who He claimed to be. God the Son in human flesh. The human flesh we see clearly in His human birth. And so as we focus on the birth of Jesus, let us consider the miracle of this mystery. That God became man, was born of a virgin, and lived among men, not as a privileged prince, but as a common carpenter. The miracle and mystery of His birth is significant. And so let us consider that this evening as we sing these carols that tell the story of Jesus and His birth. Our first carol starts by singing of the perspective from the conquered Israelites living under Roman rule. believers could sing a similar song today, longing for Jesus' second coming, for His return. Let us consider the message of this song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, as it relates to the ransom not just of captive Israel, but of captive mankind, who is enslaved to sin and destined to eternal punishment without Jesus. Why don't you stand as we sing, O Come, Emmanuel. That because of His appearance, we can have new life in Him. And finally, a hope that the Son of God will appear again, this time subduing His enemies and bringing final peace. We're going to light now these Advent candles. I've asked my son Jairus, is going to come up here, and he's going to light the first candles, the candle of hope, for the prophet's candle, as we've talked much about hope this evening so far. So from here, after our first candle, we turn our attention to an insignificant little suburb of Jerusalem. Bethlehem lies just 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It had never been a large town of any significance or importance. Its main claim to fame was that Israel's favored king, King David, came from there. That's why Joseph and Mary, in fact, went there from their hometown of Nazareth, which was 70-some miles to the north of there, when she was so close to delivering her first child. They were descended from King David, and so they went there to be counted in the Roman census that was ordered at that time. Otherwise, not much noteworthy happened in this little burg of Bethlehem, and our next carol captures that. Bethlehem was only the stage upon which this part of the story was played out. The significant thing, which is highlighted at the end of this carol, has eternal and potentially personal ramifications. Why don't you stand again as we sing together, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Season. Love. The quiet scene of the manger that we so often envision depicts well the quiet, unassuming love of the Savior who came to offer freedom from sin and the eternal death that it brings. Truly, these are great glad tidings. Those glad tidings bring great joy, which is represented by the candle of joy, which is another one of those terms that's associated with Christmas, but it's really meaningless without the proper source. Joy is generally viewed as a fleeting and elusive emotion. For most people, it comes and goes, and it's really as unpredictable as the weather. But the joy of Christmas is not something that needs to depend on the presents you receive, the family you may or may not be missing this year, or the events in which you participate. The joy of Christmas is that Jesus came to earth to bring us salvation. And if you've not embraced that salvation, then you must find joy elsewhere. And guess what? It will, sooner or later, disappoint. So until our joy is based in Jesus, it's going to be a roller coaster. So if we have embraced that salvation, then we have every reason for joy in the midst of life's disappointments, discouragement, and even, dare I say, depression. Our next carol captures the source of joy associated with Christmas. The Lord is come. The Savior reigns in the hearts of men who embrace Him. He comes to make His blessings flow and overcome the curse of sin. And one day, this Jesus, who was born in a manger, will rule over the world as the rightful king, and do so, as the last verse says, with truth and grace. You may remain seated as we sing this song, for joy to the world. Trust in this Jesus to make Him their Savior. Toby's going to come now. He's going to light this candle for us. This is the pink candle that he'll be lighting. So as these three candles burn, we turn our attention now to the fourth theme, that of peace. Again, we find a word that is thrown around at this time of the year with little thought or knowledge of why it's important. as the song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," at one point in despair declares, "There is no peace on earth," I said. We almost sang that carol this evening, because it's a fitting declaration of our world today, as much as it was in 1863 when Henry Wadsworth Longfellow penned it, in the middle of our country's Civil War. Peace? There is no peace on earth, I said. The peace of which Christmas speaks seems mocked by the events of human history and the world, just as much today as it was during America's Civil War. How can we sing of peace in this world? This must be a different peace. One day there will be this kind of peace, but the peace that Jesus brought in his first advent, which we celebrate here tonight, is mentioned in the next carol we sing, and it's God and sinners reconciled. Reconciliation, bringing peace between two warring factors. So, we listen for this. Did you know that Jesus, if you're without him, you're against God? That there is not peace between you and God? You are, in fact, God's enemy. Now, many would protest. Well, I am not God's enemy. But you see, your sin, no matter how insignificant it may seem to you, separates you from this God who is purely holy. Ironically, though, God loves you in the midst of that. And so he sent his Son to pay the price that you cannot pay for your sin through his death, through his Son's death. And so the peace that Jesus brings today is the peace between sin-infected people who trust in Jesus' death and the peace between him, between that person and the holy God, who must, by virtue of his holy nature, punish that sin. Jesus took that punishment on himself. But if you have not accepted that payment for yourself, truly there is no peace for you tonight. Listen for this message in the next carol we sing. This is why the angels announced his birth. A king had been born, a king from heaven. And this king would soon bring peace between God and mankind. I think we should stand as we sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing."
Sinners reconciled.
light the fourth candle, the candle of peace, the angel's candle, of which we've just sung. Reminds us of the peace that Jesus brought. He was born a king. The reconciliation of sinful man to holy God by Jesus' shed blood for the sins of those who would trust in him. So finally we turn our attention to the center candle, the Christ candle. The things we celebrate at Christmas, the themes of hope and love and joy and peace, we celebrate because of the birth of Jesus, who was Emmanuel, God with us in human flesh. And at his birth, it set into motion the events that led to his death, which completed the work of salvation for the world. So as we sing together our last song, keep in mind the theme of Christ and what he did and what this event meant for us.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared.
Celebrate right now, as great as it is, what it really did was it set into motion all the events that led up to his crucifixion and his death on our behalf. That is reason to fall on our knees. Jesus, the Christ, he's more than the reason for the season. He's the reason for life itself.
Yes.
I've asked Isabel to light this center candle, which represents Christ. We will extinguish these candles later this evening, and we'll probably, Lord willing, light them again sometime in the future. But the light of Jesus, on the other hand, emanates forever. It shines through the lives of his believers and through the church they comprise. It brings hope and love and joy and peace to the world as his followers allow him to shine through them as they are transformed by his power and the presence in their lives through the Holy Spirit. And I would be remiss this evening if I did not offer to you the opportunity now to give your own life to this Jesus this Christmas Eve. You've missed the meaning of Christmas altogether if you refuse the offer of forgiveness of your sins through the death of Jesus, who rose from the dead and is now seated at the right hand of his Father, God. Jesus' birth is meaningless without embracing the forgiveness that his death could bring you through faith in that. I would challenge you to do that even this evening. It's as simple as a prayer of faith to God that confesses that you're a sinner and recognizes that only through Jesus' shed blood can you ever be okay in God's presence. Jesus paid the price for your sins. If you understand that, as we bow our heads and close our eyes together this evening, if you understand that concept, salvation for you is right next door. Through an act of your will, you put your faith and trust in that for the forgiveness of your sins and the salvation from them. You can do that through a simple prayer. Something such as, Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I stand condemned before you as a holy God, totally and utterly without hope, apart from the shed blood of Jesus. I want the forgiveness that's available through that. I believe that he died for my sins. Please forgive me. It's not a complicated prayer, but it expresses the faith of your heart, the faith that saves you. For many here tonight, we've already done that. We rejoice in the fact that Jesus came to earth, was born of a virgin, so that he could live a sinless life, fully man, fully God, take the punishment for our sins on a cross, so that we could live with him in eternity. And Lord Jesus, we love you, we thank you for who you are, for what you did. May we, this Christmas season, tonight and tomorrow, as we go about the various activities each of us have, Lord, that we would be mindful of your presence and your power and what you did, not just through your birth, but most importantly, through your death and your resurrection. I ask your blessings, Lord, on each one who is here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.